Father Mick, on that point, you know, something I'm getting here in Father, what Steve was saying, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. There's nothing, he finds no pleasure in this. And what speaks to my heart is that oftentimes in today's world, many of us have the attitude when we go to an assembly is that, what can I get out of this? What is there for me? And in a reality, the best way to look at it is, what can I, if I'm faithful to the Lord, rather than seeing what I can get out of it, what can I give to Him, to give Him pleasure, to give Him praise, to honor Him. It's not, the focus is today, in the same condition, it's all about me. It's all about the democracy, as he's saying. I need to be focused upon what can I do to refresh the heart of the Lord, as opposed to what am I going to do for me. And that's a condition of today. That's how we're being trained today to think.
That's called being very narrow-minded, brother. So you're very focused. You can't just focus on Jesus. But we need to focus on Him. And I think what you brothers have said is really what was on my heart, is that the Lord delights in refreshing so much. He actually takes pleasure in our little hearts giving Him some joy. And it's amazing that He would find that. But this is what He loves. He says later, if anyone would open the door, I will come in and sup. He wants fellowship. He loves this. And I think if we understand these things, we would do well, personally, to be before the Lord in our faces, desiring that, how can I give Him, in some little response, something that will refresh His heart in these last days?
Could brethren little make it clear or expand the thought about long suffering and grace? And on the other side is tolerance and neutrality. What's it? Tolerance and then I have
neutrality. Yeah.
We need long suffering. We need grace to work out the interest of God in the assembly everywhere. But at the same time, why? If we would be too much long suffering certain time, I think we would be tolerating evil things.
So the question is, how much tolerance is acceptable before it's no longer tolerance? That's God given tolerance. Is that the question? So sometimes we're over tolerant, and we use the thought of grace, showing grace, and we should really we should show grace. But at what point do you say, well, we have to make a change or something? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. We should have much grace also. We should be having a spirit of long suffering also when there is weakness. But at the same time, if we do much that, when focusing on those things, then we might be like tolerating much, and we might be like, we might fall in neutrality.
I think you have many portions that deal with that subject. Romans 14 comes to mind, and that's not what we're here for today, but where there is an uninstructed new believer who's very focused on obedience to keeping feasts and certain foods and so forth. And initially, because they're uninstructed, there's tolerance, but not when it concerns doctrine. You cannot accept false teaching and say you're being tolerant.
In 2 Peter, we read where God Himself is long-suffering, but for the sake that souls be saved. So He doesn't compromise the fact that souls need to be saved. And long-suffering, those that continue in sin to the end, God doesn't change His opinion of that either. They will be punished for that. So same with the saints. You know, this world wants everybody on the same keel. The believer cannot be on the same keel as this world. Sin is sin. God's word is truth. And while we might show long-suffering as God desires us to, it's for the sake that one might hear the gospel message and be saved and delivered from that standing in which they are. So really it's long-suffering, but not at the expense of agreeing with the world. You see what I'm saying? Not accepting the standards of this world. So the Lord, who is a faithful and true witness, doesn't change in his standing of the Word of God, as perhaps the saints from this age did, because they were affected by the world around them. They were affected by the goods that they had, and the good life perhaps, the prosperity, and so on. But the Lord says, no, look what it did. You're lukewarm now. You're not owning up to the standards that I set forth. And that has to change.
I think if Colossians chapter 3 might be an answer, because the long-suffering is mentioned there, the love is mentioned there, the grace is mentioned there in verses 12, I think, of Colossians chapter 3. But I don't want us to divert and go on technicality. The fact of the matter is this: in the matter of tolerance and neutrality, I am everybody's friend. You have people like that, they don't offend anybody. They get along with anything and everybody. That's not grace. Grace is knowing exactly that there is something need to be corrected, and long suffering will work with that to get it correct. Tolerance doesn't correct anything. It just accepts everything and get along with everything. And that's really neutrality. Because I have no standing on anything. I get along with anybody and everybody. I'm everybody's friend. And that is neutrality and tolerance. Grace find out, knows that there is an issue, and then do something about it using long-suffering to achieve its goal. But I don't want us to...
So can I bring another side to it in a practical way? First of all, we don't want to ever underestimate grace, because righteousness reigns now through grace. So righteousness and grace are together. But let me take it in a different light, just by way of application. We don't have to take it as far as the... We're talking about the being tolerant and neutral, which is true by itself, but maybe I can take it in a different light. This is the last assembly that is truly has been lost in the world. Mm-hmm. There were other features where the assembly were becoming into the world, and the world was creating into the assembly. Here we come to the end of it, where really the world is taking hold of it. But I wonder if I can take it also by way... There are something about the hotness and the coldness in the scripture. They both relate to the heart. For example, the love of many waxing cold. And weren't our hearts burning from within us? What is the Lord looking? The Lord is looking for reality, really. That take a stand where you are. You're either for the Lord, or you're either not for the Lord. Just don't be a hypocrite. Because in the scripture, there's a lot of this lining. You see it in the last assembly. We see it with Elijah. Why are you between two opinions? Listen, I want reality. Show forth where you stand. Don't be, I want a foot in the world, and I want a foot in the things of the Lord. And that's why Elijah might, you might say, used another term. Why are you between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. And if Baal is God, follow him. But just make your stand clear. And brethren, maybe I can bring that by way of application, that what is exhorted from us is that in days of evil, last days, the last hour, whatever you want to call it, we have to make sure that our stand is known. Where do we stand? Do we stand for the things of Christ, or do we stand for the things of the world? But let's not just mix them together, make the lukewarmness, that in reality we're trying to be very nice and kind and praise the Lord that... But I'm going to say it the way I look at it, which really makes me tremble, that the Lord is so disgusted with such a spirit, he will spew you out of his mouth. It is not, as we have heard, the lack of security, but the way we live sometimes...
we disgust him, that you should know better than this, for you to behave in such a way that that the Lord would say, I will spew you. But we thank God, again, we don't enter into the depth of it, but we thank God for his grace toward us as believers, not only as unbelievers, but as believers as well.
I believe that